Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, the show where I pray I don't screw up the audio once again. It's, my bad. This is why we didn't have a show last week. It was,
We did have a show.
Well, we did have a show, but we didn't get it posted because I'd like to say my computer screwed up, but, you know, I'll take the front for this one. So, anyway, I'm Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And together we form Voltron. No. So here we are. We're ready to talk about all sorts of great iPhone photography doodads and gizmos. But before we get into all of that, I would like to announce a new sponsor for this episode. It is Printsel. Printsel turns your photos into beautiful printed books from your iPhone or iPad. Easily access your Instagram, Facebook, Flickr, and Picasa photos and make elegant photo books in minutes. So everybody should check out the Printsel app. It's available on the App Store. It is print. I almost had it. It's spelled Printzel if you're looking for it. Or if you don't feel like spelling like me, you can head over to tinyshutter.com, go into our right-hand column. They have that colorful pretzel-looking logo, and we have links to their website and app. And for developers, the Printzel API and SDK brings printing capabilities directly to your iPhone app, so you can make I'm guessing you can make some pretty cool custom books. And they offer a wide variety of sizes and types. It's really cool. We're going to get a sample copy from them. And at the end of this episode, find out how we can make some sort of contest for one of our lucky listeners to receive a free copy.
Nice.
Free book for people.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I love the printed books. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking about the Mosaic book. And, you know, I thought this was the bee's knees until I saw on their website the stuff that they were coming out with. And it's like, ooh. So go ahead and check it out. And they are Printsel. So if you want to go to their website, it's printsel.it or just find them on the App Store. So, very cool. So, let us start with some news.
News team, assemble!
You could tell how fast I'm trying to get my soundboard up by how slow I start talking. So, anyway, we're going to cover some of the stuff that we covered last week, but again, I kind of botched it. The first thing we want to say is that the Oloclip is coming out with a telephoto lens. And it's not just a telephoto lens, though. True to Oloclip fashion, it's a dual lens. On one side, you have Oloclip, and on the other side, you have a circular polarizing lens. So it's business in the front, party in the back. No, all right. It's almost 90 degrees here, so give me a break. So, Joe, why don't you talk about this, because this is something that you brought to our attention.
Yeah. It's so funny because I was like, wait, didn't we just talk about this? But that was last week. I love my Oloclip. You know, I take it with me. When I'm out and about, some people stop me and they go, oh man, cool. What is that? And I show them and like, that is neat. And one of the things that I've, you know, always wanted was to get a telephoto lens. And now Oloclip, which I like, has a 2x telephoto lens and also the circular polarizer.
And to this day, the only place that had a circular polarizing lens was the Gizmon. They were offering a separate lens for like $20 that clips onto your iPhone or screws onto your Gizmon case if you had one of those.
Yep. So So now they came out with a new lens, and unfortunately you can't purchase it separately. Even though you have the other, lens kit, it, you have to buy
they're attached.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at another, was it $100?
It's about $100.
Yeah, about $100. And, but you, if you don't have the, original OLED clip, you can purchase the other lenses if you get the telephoto, and they will fit onto those mounts. So, you know, it's one of those things. I wish that they would allow you to purchase the lens separately, but I understand that they want to be able to maximize, I guess, what they're getting, because I don't think they make these things all separately. I think they, at least not right now. I'm hoping that in the future that they will decide to sell them separately.
But these things are solid. I mean, yes. The OLED clip just fits so perfectly onto your iPhone that it's definitely worth the cost. I mean, I've had nothing but good times with my OLED clip. This is actually something that I wish they had from the very beginning, because I really have no use for the fisheye lens. I think that's something that's way too common in iPhone accessories.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't throw an OLED clip without hitting a fisheye lens. All right, I'm really on a terrible roll here. So that was so horrible that I'm going to dip into my lens wipe soundboard and give me this.
Whoa!
The telephoto lens is something that I'm really looking forward to. It's something that I've wanted for a while, and something that they've only made fairly well on iPhone accessories. I know I've reviewed one way back in the day, but it was only okay.
So yeah.
To have something to fit this nicely, and I'd love to see how it works on portraiture, because everything I've seen right now has been just a magnification test. They haven't really tested it on doing a portrait with the iPhone. But Matt, what do you think about the circular polarizer and the telephoto?
The telephoto, I would really want to play with it and just kind of see, you know, the images that are the result from that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one that you played with for a little while, like a year or so ago, and I just know that the sharpness dropped off dramatically the further out from the center you got.
Yeah, and it was really hard to focus if you were in harsh light, or any kind of light for that matter.
Yeah, so I think that would bug me. I think the inclusion of the polarizer is awesome, and the fact that you could use it on, you know, your regular OLED clip if you already own that is pretty awesome. Also,
yeah.
I would actually be interested in it if the polarizer could mount on my diff case lens.
That'd be awesome.
That would be super cool.
I mean, it might. Do you think it might? Or is it two different types of mounts?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know how it mounts, so I'm not sure.
We'll have to find out. I'll send you my OLED clip. It has the... You could just unscrew the wide-angle lens and just see if it'll attach on. That'd actually be pretty wild to check out. Project.
Wait, is it the... Oh, yeah. The wide-angle does come off. I was thinking the fisheye. Yeah.
No, yeah, the fisheye right. Doesn't come off. I've tried.
Yeah. I don't think it's meant to come off.
Yeah. I'll tell you, solid build, because I couldn't get it off.
Yeah, that is one thing. They don't skimp on the materials.
Yeah, they're really good at that. So it's $400. I think it's worth it if somebody really wants a good telephoto lens for their iPhone. I don't know. If you don't own an OLED clip and you're looking to get one, I don't know which one to get. It really depends on your style. If you really want to do wide-angle photos, then I'd go with the original OLED clip, but... I just see too much value in the circular polarizer and the telephoto. I'm way more on the circular polarizing lens, and it really depends on how the quality of the polarization is. because that could be a big deal during harsh light.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
well, when it comes out, somebody will have to buy it and then give us a review.
Yeah, that's we'll have to see. so let us, if anybody buys it, let us know. It should be out now.
Oh, is it out now?
I think so. They said if it's not out now, it's coming out very shortly.
Hold on, let me check. Holoclip. And survey says, wait a minute.
I like that jaunty tune you were singing.
Okay, why didn't that go straight to Holoclip?
Did you try Holoclip.com?
Yeah. I think I clicked on one of the ads related to Holoclip.
Oh.
All right, here we go. I hate that. All right. Oh, no, it's still in pre-order.
Still pre-order?
Yep.
All right. Well, it's coming soon, so be on the lookout. The other thing that's pretty interesting, and this is according to TechCrunch and some other, you know, a few widely used sources out there, like, just throw a rock at it, you're bound to hit a website that has this news. Apple is said to be working on a slow motion video recording feature for the new iPhones. Or I guess it's either going to be for the new iPhone or for anything that can accept iOS 7. It's really not certain right now. It's just something that was discovered in the iOS beta. But slow motion video capability. What do you guys think? This is something that you guys want?
Heck yeah. Yeah, the 9to5 Mac had this article, and somebody had seen in the background a, you know, slow mo, which was, they said 120 frames per second video.
Yeah.
But right now, none of our iPhones is capable of handling 120 frames a second.
Do you think the iPhone 5 can handle that? I'd imagine it could. It has enough power behind it.
Yeah, I'm not sure because I don't have one. I have the 4S. And
Matt, look inside your iPhone. Ask it if it can do 120 frames per second.
Here, I'll check.
Ask Siri. Yep.
Let's do that. Siri, can you shoot video at 120 frames per second?
I suppose it's possible.
Oh! Oh my god! Oh snap! This is an official. This is breaking news. You know what? Let me ask my Siri. Siri, can you shoot video at 120 frames per second? Well, she didn't say anything, but she said, I have a text that's appearing. Oh, that's because I have it on mute. Hang on. Siri, can you shoot video at 120 frames per second?
She doesn't want to answer.
No, she's not saying anything. She says, I'm sorry, Marcus. I'm afraid I can't answer that. So that's what she said for you, right?
No, for me, she said,
I suppose it's possible. It's possible. Yeah. All right, so that's verification that... why isn't this dumb broad talking to me? I've been nothing but nice to her. Well, no, I haven't, actually.
No, you haven't.
Well, in my defense, she was a complete ninny. So, all right. So, Siri has said that it's quite possible to do it on the iPhone 5, but not on the 4S. So, look at that. Exclusive.
All right, I'm going to ask. Siri, can you do 120 frames per second?
No comment.
No, you have to say, can you shoot video? Remember, you have to be specific to the stupid computer.
Siri, can you shoot video at 120 frames per second?
This is about you, not me.
Oh, I hate Siri so much.
Oh, that's awesome.
New podcast idea.
a new segment, Ask Siri.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to register that domain right now.
I've seen, you know, slow motion video, and I think it would be awesome to get that. I'm concerned about the size of the videos and with the limited space that we have. If they gave us a choice to add storage space to our phones, I think it would be very plausible.
I wonder if we're going to have a boost in storage then. Like you said, it would be it's not necessary, but it would be helpful. But
you mean baseline being, you know, baseline for the 5S being 32 64 gigabytes,
and then 128 or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, maybe it's not necessary because right now we're talking about 120 frames per second like it's a brand new thing, but everything else can already shoot 120 frames per second. And, you know, this is just going to be Apple, you know, joining the club, basically. The Samsung Galaxy, Nokia, HTC One, they all have the capability to shoot 120 frames per second. And, you know, this isn't just for slow motion, though. I mean, can you imagine how smooth the video is going to be if you just do it at regular speed?
Yeah. And you know, the 4S and up, video is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I was doing some more video. I'll be doing video when I'm out in California these next 2 weeks. I'm gonna sit down with my grandmother and go through her photo albums and get her to talk about the photos that are dating back to late 1800s and early 20th century. So, you know, I'm going to be doing a lot of video when I'm out. I'm going to have to bring my computer with me to get, you know, to download the video off of my phone. But, you know, it's with the image stabilization of the 4S and, 1080p, it looks awesome. And I can use more depth of field, but it's a shallower depth of field. But other than that, it's perfect.
Have you guys seen my Lego video yet?
No.
It was on Instagram. It's I had hair up my butt just to do some macro photography. But rather than doing the standard macro photography, I just I went out and bought some Lego figures. And
nice.
Lego has I got the hair up my butt because the Lego movie trailer is out, which mm-hmm. if anybody hasn't seen it yet, go to Apple Trailers and check that out because it is funny. Those guys are making fun of themselves and it's awesome.
You need to work on your Sean Connery.
Oh, so you did see it?
No, I just now saw it.
Well, no, my Sean Connery. Yeah, I know my Sean Connery stinks, but I thought it was close enough. You know, for a Lego guy. If he was a Lego guy, he'd sound like that.
That's right.
But yeah, I have a couple more videos that I want to do just because I don't know. I felt like it. There's a little guy that looked like Sean Connery in a sailor suit. Or captain's outfit. He came with a seagull, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
I was going to say, his hand looks like it's up. Yeah.
I also got a Superman figure. I also got, what else? A couple other stuff. I don't know, it's going to be fun. I have to hide it from my kids, though.
Yeah, I have Legos, and I had to hide them at first, but now now they play with them, but they're only allowed to play with them at the table. If I hear any of them hit the ground, they have to go and pick them back up, because last thing I want to do is step on my own Legos.
Yeah.
So it's a treat for them to play with Legos, you know, being that they're 4 and 2. but I get this, Daddy, can I play with your Legos? I'm like, all right.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. What else do we got on the agenda here? We got the Olo clip. We got the slow-mo.
Instagram.
Why don't you talk about that one?
All right. Instagram has recently, well, you would have found out last week, but Instagram has recently allowed you to be able to embed pictures, meaning you can select the embed code and be able to place it in a blog or a website or on Facebook. And used to be, which, you know, I'll still be doing, is that I would do a screen capture. I'd cut the image out and save it. And then I would insert it into a post. Now it allows you to do that by just collecting the code. And so now not only can you do the images, but you can also do video. So I think this is pretty cool because it's not really allowing people to steal your photos because, you know, when you click on it, I believe it takes you right back to Instagram.
Yeah.
But it pops up and does this. It does the same thing as if you're on the Instagram.com. And, you know, so if you're concerned about people stealing your images, then you don't want to make it public. And this doesn't work with accounts that are private accounts. This will only work on the open accounts. And it doesn't work on the iOS devices either. Not, at least not yet. This only works on web, Safari, or Chrome, or Explorer. So this is just the beginning. We're I'm interested to see what else they're going to be doing and allowing us to do outside of iOS with these images.
At the moment, it doesn't give you a choice to resize your images, so that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and I think they do that on purpose too, because 600 by 600, I believe, is the pixel size that they allow on the web, and that is just to keep people from stealing images and blowing them up, using them, you know, for web.
No, but you can't make it smaller either, though. That's the thing. I mean, from their app, I don't know if you can tweak the iframe code, and I don't know if it'll adjust accordingly, but.
Yeah, I haven't tried that yet. I haven't gone into the code to do that.
You think I would have tried since we talked about this last week?
I know. we'll try it.
Okay. Homework for next week.
Yes.
Pray I don't lose this episode.
If you do, nobody will know.
Yeah, I know.
Except us.
All right, cool. So let us go into Post Pick of the Week. Post Pick of the Week. This one's going to be kind of a double whammy since I mentioned him last week, but, you know, he wasn't, you know, we couldn't do the photo and everything. Oh, bugger. I don't have it on my phone anymore.
I have it.
Oh, you got it? All right, why don't you tell them about my photo.
All right.
At least the username. I totally forgot. I'll describe it. I remember it, but I forgot the username.
R. Miller T-Bone shot a black and white of, I forget the name of the falls, but you had mentioned that, you know, usually when you see waterfalls, it's in color, but you really liked the way that this black and white looked. And, of course, you have a soft spot for waterfalls, but yeah.
Well, you say so sultry. It's, yeah. I just like him a lot. I don't like him that way.
Oh, that's debatable. So, but yeah, I did post it on the Tiny Shutter podcast Instagram account.
Yes.
And said it was part of the lost episode. But, you know, now it's going to be pretty much, you know, this episode also. So, yeah, good job. I think it's Robert Miller. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But he did a good job. He goes, man, that looks like mine. He goes, thanks.
It is.
It is yours. You're welcome.
It was easy. We just scrubbed out the copyright and put. No kidding.
Well, one thing that I've always made sure of is that anytime we post your image on our site, I put your name on there, and if you have a title, I'll put the title also.
Yeah.
That way, you know, because, you know, if everybody who posts to the Tiny Shutter hashtag, or, you know, we tell, you know, that that can be used as a post pick of the week. And you know, people aren't there going, hey, why'd you just take my image? They, you know, they're there because they want people to see it. Plus, they, you know, they want to be able to say, hey, look, my image was featured. So, but we make sure that, you know, people can find out who did it, and then they can find you on Instagram and see the image there too. So this is a way to say thanks for listening, and for us to say attaboys at you guys for creating such wonderful images.
Yeah. You said it better than I could. I would have stuttered a bunch of times and then threw out some sort of fart joke or something. I'm a professional.
So, good job. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, let's go into focus points.
Focus point.
Before we talk about picks that we have, we wanted to just, I mean, you know, we could probably go quickly. You know, it's summer's here. It's in full effect. And if you live in the East Coast, New England area, it is beating the snot out of us until we scream uncle. I wish I was joking about that, but it really is miserable up here. Of course, people in Arizona are saying, pussies. So anyway, yeah, humidity. Wow. We're going to talk about camera apps that we would like to take on trips, maybe equipment that we want to take. So Joe, since you are heading out to California, why don't you talk about some of the stuff that you are taking on your trip?
Well, I was debating, you know, this is actually probably going to be the first trip which I debated on whether to bring my DSLR. And, you know, to me, it seems sacrilege. You know, how can you go all the way over there without it? I am going to bring it. But it was one of those first times that I actually thought of not bringing it. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, with the iPhone 4S, with the lenses that I have, the gear that I have to be able to set up on a tripod.
I just won't have room for my DSLR.
It's not that much room, but I'm almost thinking, am I going to be able to have time to use my big camera?
Yeah.
So I am going to bring it because I do realize that my iPhone doesn't have the lens capabilities that my Canon does. And there are going to be instances where I'm really going to need it for when I'm taking pictures of my kids who can't sit still and, you know, with family members. And I want to be able to capture that. But, you know, I was thinking, okay, if I was to go on a trip, and being that the way the airlines are, they are, you know, taking our money left and right. Our luggage is, you know, growing smaller and smaller. And so that means there's less things for me to bring.
You carry on, Matt, what's the over under that he actually uses that DSLR camera? He's going to bring it, but how often do you think he'll use it? I'm saying he pulls it out once, but really doesn't use it.
No, he's not our friend Maude Byrne, so I think he'll use it.
Take that, Maud.
Sorry, Maud. We love you.
I'll have to make him listen to this episode.
Yes.
but I think what I think is it's going to be like 75% iPhone video.
Like
10% iPhone photos and 5% DSLR photos.
Missing another 10%.
Oh, that other 10% is going to be browsing the web and looking at your Instagram feed.
Yes. Editing. Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll definitely give you a report on that. But you know, right now most of the stuff that I carry I can fit in my pocket. I've got a small tripod and a GorillaPod. I'm thinking of leaving the monopod at home because I really don't want to have to deal with it at the airport.
You can always buy a cheaper one at Walmart when you're out there.
That's true. Or see if my mom has one. I doubt she does, but she might. So, you know, it's just what would I bring? And that really made me start to think. Now, if I was to go on a, you know, a car trip somewhere, I could bring a lot more stuff. But I was wondering what you guys, you know, if you had to make a cross-country trip, what would you bring?
I'm going to kind of switch that up on you and mention our Lenscursion trip that we did a few weeks back. Matt, you used what was the percentage of photography you did between your iPhone and your Sony camera?
I'd say it was 50-50 on that trip.
Yeah, I thought you were going to be using your Sony a lot more often, but every time I saw you, you were using your iPhone instead. So that was pretty cool. You got some amazing shots with the iPhone, especially with the waterfall stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun using both cameras, but it is a lot of fun shooting with the iPhone, without a doubt. And then, you know, it all comes down to kind of a convenience thing, too, for me. Like, I don't know, I keep myself pretty busy, and I don't always have time to spend at the computer, you know, editing photos from the Sony.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I like post-processing, but it's kind of a process. It's like you really have to set time aside for it and go through the photos and, you know, figure out which ones you want to edit. With the iPhone, it's just so much more instantaneous, and you know, you can take the picture and you can edit it immediately, and if you're somewhere with 4G or Wi-Fi, you could get it online immediately. And I guess that's really the big appeal to me.
Yeah.
So I kind of gravitate towards the iPhone, but I love my Sony camera, and I shoot a lot with that, and I think on that trip it was probably about 50-50, I'd say.
And I'm just really gravitating more to the video now. I'm having a lot of fun with the Instagram stuff. That one's pretty fun, playing with 15 seconds, and just using the native video camera. I've been testing out some other stuff, but for some reason, the native camera is just much better right now. I still have a lot more to play with, but I'm having fun with that.
One thing that did change with Instagram is you're now able to video in landscape mode. You're not stuck doing portrait mode when doing the video. They did make that change in the most recent update.
Thank God.
Yeah.
My wife has been funny. She's been doing a lot more video too, but she's been using Vine instead of Instagram. So I've been having fun with seeing what Rebel. She's been coming up with. Yeah, I know. It's a house divided. very cool. So do we have any picks for this week? Matt, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. And to be honest with you, it kind of ties nicely in with the conversation we were just having about, you know, going out on a trip or a vacation or whatever.
Nice.
So this is not specifically a photo app. and it's kind of a new app. It's called Yonder, like, hey, let's go over yonder, like that.
Yeah.
Right? So basically what it is, it's an app that kind of lets you discover, like, outdoor-oriented destinations that are around you. And so that's something that, let's just say, Joe, you weren't familiar with where you were headed in California.
Uh-huh.
Which I know is not the case, but let's just say that that was true for a second. You know, you'd be able to fire up this app and it would actually tell you like state parks or wildlife management areas or just things like that. But the cool thing is instead of it just giving you like this list of like, you know, outdoorsy places to go, it's kind of like a, almost like a social network where the information that it's pulling up is from people that have actually been to the place and they took pictures there or they shot a video there or they made some kind of notes there.
Nice.
And they've uploaded it to this app. So you're able to kind of see, you know, what other people are doing at these places and see what they're seeing and what they're photographing. Which is pretty cool. There's, you know, it's not like any like earth shattering features, but they're all really useful. You could see the information in like a few different ways. Like when you fire up the app, it basically is going to give you sort of like a list and it's going to be from like the nearest destination to where you are. And you could scroll through that list. Or you could switch it to like a thumbnail mode, and it's almost like, hate to make this comparison, but it's almost like looking at the popular page on Instagram.
Oh.
Right? and then, you know, if there's like a particular place that, let's say you saw like a photo and you're like, well, that place looks really awesome. I wonder where that is. You could click on it and then it'll give you, you could find out more information. It'll show you like a map of where it is. And it just depends on how many people have really contributed information on a site as to how much information's available. But definitely a cool new little app. I've been checking it out the last couple of days and actually found out about a place that is really close to my house. I've lived here for 4 years now and I've never even heard of it. A wildlife management area that's literally just a few miles away from where I live. I didn't even know it existed. So
that's pretty cool.
And you can actually fire up the camera from within the app. And the app actually has some filters, but they look kind of silly. But but it is cool, you know, if you're using this app and you're making notes and marking spots or whatever, you can fire up the camera or switch it to video, like right in the app.
And it does the GPS and makes note of that on a map and everything?
Yep, does all that fun stuff.
Very cool.
So that is called Yonder. And I think the people that made this app are actually up in my neck of the woods. They're just across the river from me over in Vermont.
Huh, Green Mountain Digital.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So for me, it's kind of like a tooting the horn of the local people.
Well done.
It's funny, though, on their website, everything that they're showing as far as like maps and locations is out west, like Colorado and stuff.
Awesome. So I don't have a pick for this week. How about you, Joe?
I'm going to go with what I did. I mentioned this in the Lost episode, but you know, I printed images, and I have a wall. I've been meaning for about 2 years to get my photo wall going, and it was a process. And I found that it's difficult for photographers to actually print their own personal work. And other than personal projects or projects for other, you know, for other people, be it paid or, you know, volunteer. So, you know, a lot of times it comes down to, okay, what images do I want to have on there? Do I want it a specific genre? Do I want it to be black and white? Do I want it to be color? Is it going to be of the kids? Is it going to be scenery? It, you know, all these things play into making a decision. And a lot of times we just put it off. So for it was a two weeks ago, I finally was able to get my images up there. And one of the other things that I debated on that kept me from actually getting the images is I didn't know where I wanted to have them printed from.
Right.
I didn't know if I was going to do something cheap or if I was going to do something expensive. Was I going to have them shipped in? Was I going to go pick them up from Walmart? And we happened to have a Canon printer at the house, and my wife had ordered some new ink, and in it came a 50 sheet glossy 4x6 images, pictures, I'm sorry, picture paper. And so I was like, I'll try it. I tried printing off of that printer with some cheap paper and it didn't look great. It was awful. And when I printed it, I was like, man, this is great. This
is glossy when you printed it.
Yeah. The glossy, it was like, I was like, I looked in, I started, you know, peeping at the pixels, and I was like, you know, this is better than Walmart. And
that's not saying much.
Well, if you want to step up from Walmart, then go with this. And so I actually, we ordered some 8.5 by 11 sheets because they don't have 8 by 10.
Right.
So I ordered the 8.5 by 11 sheets, and when we got them, I did a test of, and I did one test sheet, and it was of my son walking across our living room with his toy gun in his pants, and he's giving me this glare, and it had motion blur, and you know, this was done with my iPhone, and so I wanted to do the 8.5 by 11 with my iPhone as a test to see what the quality was, and it looked good. Nice. You know, you can tell a little bit if you're looking for the little bit of lack in quality compared to my Canon. And so I started printing, and I printed some 4x6s and some 8.5 by 11s, and I put them up on my wall, and you couldn't tell that I printed them here at the house.
That's so pretty awesome.
So I encourage you to find a way to print your images. You know, it's one thing to take images. It's another to post it on Instagram or on a website. It is a totally different experience to actually have physical images that you have up on the wall. It almost is like it almost makes you feel complete. Looking at the wall. You complete me. No, just kidding. But you know, it's getting past those barriers that you put yourself in, and are able to actually take something virtual and make it tangible.
Very cool. Well, now you know. I think we should start winding things down. But before we wind it down, let us announce the contest, and let's keep it simple. Either on Instagram, Twitter, even Facebook now, just upload your photo with the hashtag #TinyShutterContest, and you will be entered to win a free book from our friends over at Princel. So,
should we keep it simple and just do it on Instagram?
Matt, what do you think? Tiebreaker.
Well, what was the choice besides Instagram?
Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, gotcha. I say just Instagram.
Okay, so Instagram it is. So if you are on Instagram, upload your photo with the hashtag #TinyShutterContest, and you will be entered to win one of our, you'll be entered to win a free book from Princel. So start today. And by that, I mean when this episode is uploaded.
Should we pick it, say, the 1st of August?
The
next episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hurry up, guys.
we'll have to do it, actually. Can we do it in 2 episodes?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, 2 episodes is good.
Yeah, because that'll only give people, 2 days or so by the time they hear this episode till we record the next one.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well said. So, yeah, that sounds good, what Matt said. So, let's wind things down. And, Joe, tell the world where they can find you on this awesome interwebs.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
And you, Matt?
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at M. Hoffman Photo.
Cool. And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, on casualphotography.net. I have links in there to all the social places, whether it's the Instagrams, the Twitters, or the Facebooks. Knock yourself out and read an article while you're there. So that's all for this week. Next week, we will be back, and hopefully it won't be as crazy hot and disgusting. So,
hey, Matt's following me now on Twitter.
How? Awesome. So anyway, that's all for this week. We will see you, everybody, next week. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.